This episode is brought to you in part by Hindsight. Hindsight is a new science fiction novel by author Matthew Keegan. Hindsight is a time travel adventure that Tim Truax at the Nerd Room calls a brilliant tapestry of time travel and history that will leave you questioning everything, impossible to put down. Find the links to Hindsight at talkstarwars.co.uk/hindsight and order your copy today. This episode is also brought to you by the Talk Star Wars Patreon community. If you'd like to support what we do now and help us expand our programming, head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a patron. In return, you'll get an exclusive daily podcast, a monthly newsletter, Facebook Live sessions, priority release podcasts, and monthly prize giveaways and a whole lot more. You'll also get access to our VIP-only Facebook group. This group contains a global community of Star Wars fans that have become dear friends. So head to patreon.com/talkstarwars today and become a TSW patron. This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast of talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
And it's episode 110... Gar.
Nice.
That's a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I'm looking forward to all the ones next week.
11138.
That's going to be the one. You know it. You know it.
Yeah. It'll be done.
It invites itself, doesn't it?
It does.
There's no Paul yet this week. Hopefully he will join us before the end of the show. If not, c'est la vie. That's the thing.
You know.
That's the thing that may happen.
People will be understanding of this, I think.
Yeah. Hey, we're recording a little bit early this week, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm all right, you know. I'm good. Everything's fine. We had a nice Emotionally 14 recording session last night.
You did. A number of shows last night, did you not?
Yeah, we recorded two, yeah. It went really well. On the subject of Emotionally 14, actually, I'd like to say a quick thank you, if I may, to Matthew Salvatore, who took the time this week to check out the Crazy Train and sent me some very lovely messages on Twitter about how much he was enjoying it. So thank you, Matthew. And obviously, if anybody is out there and is like, what is the Crazy Train? Search it up and get on board.
Yeah. He's Matthew in particular is really lovely guy, really supportive, really enthusiastic. Yeah, so that's really nice. You can obviously get to people can find everything you do through the links in the show notes, Rob.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to get to your pods through this. Yeah, but people should be checking you out. Also, I had the opportunity the weekend to hear your appearance on the Roman Podcast.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a jolly good time.
Episode 100 was fantastic.
Absolutely great time with those guys. Obviously, you know, my love for Rob is well documented, but also I'm a very big fan of Roman as well. He's a really lovely guy. And it was my first time podcasting with Randy, and he's great. I really like him.
Yeah,
so it was a great time.
We should shout out the. Is it the Grolix podcast?
Grolix podcast. Yeah, it's a comic show.
Comic show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very familiar, obviously, with listening to their show. I'm very familiar with Randy's voice. So it was nice to hear you guys all interacting with each other. It was fantastic. Yeah. It was that was my little trip to accident and emergency at the weekend. And by a little trip, I mean 4 hours.
Yeah, how are you holding up?
I'm getting there. For those who don't know, I sustained a little bit of a back injury in the snow.
Yes.
And it's gotten progressively worse. I tried to sort of push through it a couple of days after it happened. But then Sunday, I could barely do anything. Yeah. So I ended up, my wife forced me to go to the hospital.
And very wise.
So whilst I was sat there waiting, it led me into a false sense of security. Now, I have to say, I'm a huge fan of the National Health Service in the UK. My wife's a nurse. Okay. She works in oncology. She's very dedicated. They're all very, very dedicated. Mm-hmm. So you won't hear a bad thing from me about the National Health Service.
No.
I've had more than my money's worth. But on Sunday, I was led into a false sense of security because I hobbled into A&E, which is the ER. If you're in North America, it's basically our version of the emergency room. And it was empty. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I've timed it right. I'm in just after the drunkards from Saturday and just before the sports injuries from Sunday. I've got my window, right? So I staggered in and I registered and everything like you do, and then you see a triage nurse, and I was thinking, there's no one here. This is going to go really, really. I should be home. I should be patched up and home by lunch.
Yeah.
And the nurse saw me. She said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to send you around that corner where all the people are, apparently.
So oh, I see.
That's where I joined the back of a four-hour queue.
Bait and switch.
Yeah. So, don't believe the hype. You will still have to queue up to be made well. But there you go. Yeah, it was. But I had to go. And obviously the outcome, I needed a ton of medication. So thank you to the doctors and nurses who took care of me on Sunday.
Yes.
Thank you to you guys for entertaining me and the Nerd Room. I had plenty of podcasts to catch up on.
Oh, you're in good company.
Yeah.
It's almost worth it, isn't it?
Almost worth it. Yeah, I might do it this weekend. Might throw myself out the living room window. So I've only got a few feet to fall. All right. Before we get lost in any more of these topics of conversation about the woes, let's get into some... Thank you, shall we? I'd like to extend a warm welcome to Brad Tracy, who joined the Talk Star Wars Patreon campaign this week.
Yes, welcome.
A big way. Brad stepped into the Jedi Council level. Thank you, Brad, for jumping in. And also congratulations, because we did a prize draw tonight on Facebook Live.
Yes.
And Brad won his first few days in the group. He won a copy of The Last Jedi novelization by Jason Fry.
Very cool.
I need to point out that this couldn't be more fair. I know that sounds very suspicious.
But yeah, you almost protest too much, I
know. I know, but I just, you know, I feel like I can't be more transparent with the way I do this. So I have a list of names that I download from Patreon. They get exported into a numbers document in Mac OS, and then they get randomized, so they get shuffled. And I do it every month, so everybody gets shuffled every month. And then I have my Alexa device, which is sitting behind me, choose a number at random. So I publish that list of names, which has been randomized, into Facebook. Yep. And then live, I have the Alexa device, but I won't use the real name. The Alexa device calls a number out so everyone can hear it. Couldn't be more fair. And Brad won. Yeah. So congratulations, Brad.
Yeah, congrats. And again, welcome.
Yes, indeed, welcome. Brad is a very... very dedicated supporter of Patreon campaigns. Is supporting the lot, basically. So
there's a few, they're great people, those people. Yes. I can't say enough nice things about them.
No, indeed, it's wonderful to see people getting behind creators the way they do. So welcome, Brad, and congratulations. But I'd also like to thank Tim Truax and Neil Lowry for upgrading their pledges to the Jedi Council level as well.
Lovely.
They've been dedicated supporters for a very long time. And, of course, your dear self, sir,
yes. Rob,
who also upgraded to Jedi Council level as well. So I can't thank you enough. You will find, if you go to StarWarsCommonwealth.com, to the Talk Star Wars page, you'll find credits there for all of our donors. All of our supporters from Patreon are listed there in like a credits block.
Marvelous.
So you wonderful people are there. There's only a few spots left in the Jedi Council level. So thank you. Greatly appreciated. Okay, moving on to reviews. We don't have any new reviews this week, but we are still running the Ron Burgundy policy, which means whatever you send into Apple Podcasts as a 5-star review, we will read verbatim. So if you want to promote something, podcast or a blog, that's where to do it. Just keep it clean, or we won't be able to read it out on the show. But you can have some fun with that, as has been done in the past. I think I remember singing Never Gonna Give You Up. I didn't sing it. Read the lyrics to Never Gonna Give You Up, which was awkward.
I did offer.
You did. You did. But it was, I think I was specifically called out in that email. So there you go. Thank you, whoever that was. I don't remember. YouTube picked up a new subscriber this week, GPLA77. Thank you very much for subscribing to the channel. We're not really doing an awful lot over on that platform at the moment, apart from curating lists. But we appreciate the new followers, the new subscribers anyway. And Rob, you and I were talking before we kicked the episode off. I've been sort of investing some time into some if this, then that automation.
Yeah, I'm just browsing it now, actually, because you've got me hooked.
Yeah, it's a fantastic service, and it really helps sort of organize things like photographs and your Facebook page and things like that, and mm-hmm. changing Twitter profiles on certain days and things like that. There's some great tools in there. And one of the things I've invested in some time in this week is generating rules for emails. So we're moving mm-hmm. into listener comms. So if you want to get your questions and comments or voicemails into the show, email us at talkstylesinfo@gmail.com and put listener comms. So listener comms, COMMS in the subject okay. line, and IFTTT will take care of the rest. So it will get filed away where it should. It should get forwarded to the appropriate people mm-hmm. and tweeted and Facebooked and all that sort of stuff automatically. So, yeah, fire your stuff into us at talkstylesinfo, that's INFO, at gmail.com. Listener comms in the subject line, and you'll be well away for getting your comments and questions onto the show notes. Like Dave Stevens did. Now, Dave's a listener from Australia. Hello, okay. Dave, by the way. Thank you so much for sending your email to us. He emailed us about Star Wars Rebels. Now,
okay.
Dave, I've kept your email to one side because we in the UK seem to be very, very far behind everybody else when it comes yes. to episodes of Star Wars Rebels.
Almost unforgivably so.
We're only about two episodes in, right? And the US have just wrapped up. So
I don't think it's that quite that bad.
Is it not? Because I've been...
It's second half of the season, maybe.
Oh, no. Yeah, in the second half, these final few episodes, mm-hmm. I know Lucasfilm put out episodes 1 and 2 on the first night.
Yeah.
3 and 4 on the second night, and the final 3 on the third night.
Oh, okay.
On the third Monday.
Yeah.
And we're only 2 episodes in.
Oh.
And it's taken us 2 weeks to get there.
Speaking of animated shows, this is a slight aside, but I just spotted today that the first 4 series of Clone Wars are $4.99 each on iTunes.
Yes, yeah, I've been throwing some of that. Rebels and Clone Wars, $4.99 yes. each. I've been sharing some of that on the Twitter.
Yeah, I have Rebels already. That's probably why I didn't really notice.
Yeah, I'm kicking around the idea of picking some of those things up because I do want to kind of do a rewatch there. Mm. And that does seem to be the most affordable way of doing
totally.
It.
Totally.
With Rebels, I think I'll probably be able to pull the whole lot down from Sky in the...
Eventually, yeah.
They do a catch-up, mm-hmm. like box sets on the Sky. In the UK, Sky TV is like our cable service. So you can pull all the episodes down a box set and watch them legitimately, which is nice. So it might be nice. I might invest in the Clone Wars. But yeah, Dave, mm-hmm. your question about Rebels, we will circle back to it when we've had a chance to get caught up. And it's not just because we haven't seen it, but a large percentage of our listenership hasn't seen it because they're UK-based. So we don't want to wander into anything that's spoilery for those people until such time as it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, thanks for your email, but we'll put that on hold for the time being. Rob, did you want to take Vesuvi's email this week? It's not so much a question,
gladly.
Just a comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Vesuvi writes, "Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Rob. Hoping Paul makes it safely back to the show by next week." moving on. "I'm listening to episode 109 much later in the day than usual. I've actually just watched the Rebels finale, so I'm glad your discussion included speculation on what the next animated series might entail. But mostly I'm tingling with anticipation to hear what you all thought of A Fool's Hope, Family Reunion, and Farewell. I was pleased with how things wrapped up, but in true franchise style, left plenty open to explore in future content. P.S. Hurrah for your Glengarry Glen Ross reference towards the end." Gladly, you know. Well, I can try and work those in where possible. But I won't just force it. I'll do it when it makes sense.
It was the always be closing thing last week.
Yeah.
The ABCs bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I've made a note under Vesuvi's email there that we've had a lot of DMs and Facebook messages and emails about Star Wars Rebels series finale. And we do intend to discuss it, as we just mentioned, but we're so far behind in the UK that we just can't do it at the moment. I'm not even discussing it on the daily because there's so much. I discussed it this morning, but I pushed the thing I wanted to talk about beyond a spoiler wall so that people mm-hmm. could jump out if they hadn't had a chance to catch up. So
fair enough.
It's and the only people that have commented on that episode so far have been from North America. So I know the UK listenership are dumping it before they get spoiled. So we will circle back to it all in good time. But Vesuvi, thank you for your email again, as usual.
Yeah, always a pleasure to hear from you.
Always. Okay, so we've got an email from Ian Jolliffe. I think this rolled over from last week.
That sounds right.
Ian says, "Good evening, chaps. Some thoughts on and a two-part question about the dark side in episode 9. I love Snoke as a character, and but also applauded Rian Johnson for going against expectations and having him meet his demise in the middle film of the trilogy. It does, though, create some issues for me with episode 9. I'm not sure having Kylo Ren and a slightly snivelling, comedic General Hux as lead baddies represents a weighty enough threat for the audience. So should we see another dark side user in episode 9? Story-wise, for me, I can see Kylo being obsessed with Rey and not sure if taking an apprentice would actually interest him. I think Kylo would enjoy the power too much on his own and not want to introduce a potential challenger in the form of an apprentice. Of course, we don't know for certain that Snoke somehow doesn't come back. I love him, but please no. Or somebody, that is Ian's comments, parenthetically, not mine. Okay. Or somebody else senior and force-wieldy is not lurking about. So yeah, of course we could have, there could be somebody skulking around in the background there, couldn't there?
Yeah.
So Ian's gone out of his way to break down his own question. So point one, is it necessary / desirable to see another dark side force wielder in episode 9? And two, if so, what type of role or dark sider would you like to see? Great to hear Mr. P's views on this. Well, you're just going to get Mr. this week. P.S.
Unless you mean the passion or the pain.
Yeah. Surely adding my breakdown is worth an extra number in the VIP's prize draw. Parenthetically kidding. Ian, we don't bend the rules.
And if we do, we do it we don't do it that obviously.
Yeah. All right. But so is it necessary, or is it indeed desirable to see another dark side force wielder in episode 9? What do you reckon, Rob?
I don't know, you know. I think depending on the story they tell, we don't need one. Here's how I'll phrase it. We don't need one in the current epoch. What we want, what I would see, you know, what I'm okay with, or what I'd like, rather, is a historical one.
Okay.
So perhaps, you know, Kylo starts seeking out sources of knowledge from things like Sith holocrons and stuff of that nature. So maybe we get like an older kind of, maybe even the Snoke, you know.
Or a Bane.
Or a Bane, yeah. I mean, what would be cool is if he kind of grudgingly realizes that he needs Snoke, he still needs teaching some Snoke. What the hell was that?
That sounded like a land speeder more than a speeder.
I think it was a sand crawler. It sounded quite high up, and we're on the second floor.
That's Paul trying to get home.
That
to
must
record.
Be it. Yeah, he's a Stutinian. So I think, you know, we could go down that path because I think actually you don't need a power struggle with the dark side with the Force in order to have a power struggle. I think what you need is a increasingly distracted and obsessed Kylo Ren, and an increasingly confident and conniving Hux. And that would make for an interesting, for me, that would make an interesting power struggle. So Kylo's kind of obsessed with this wiping out the resistance and wiping out the, you know, the last kind of remnants of that. And Hux starts to see that, you know, oh, well, he's not paying attention to what's going on around him because he's obsessed with this problem. Maybe I can use this to my advantage. And you start to see him get a little bit more arrogant and a little bit more, what's the word? Complacent. And he starts to kind of work his way into his good graces and trying to help, like trying to ostensibly help him and things like that. But actually he's playing his own game and doing it for his own ends.
Trying to consolidate a little power there in secret.
Yeah. I think that would make for a really interesting, really interesting dynamic. And like I say, you don't necessarily need a dark force user, but I think I was about to say before the Sandcrawler appeared, it would be cool if in episode 9, we realized that, or we kind of come to understand through the story that Kylo actually kind of realizes that he grudgingly needs Snoke, or more, he still needs guidance. He's not there yet. And he has to start kind of looking at sources of power from, like I say, holocrons and
that would
stuff.
Be interesting.
It'd be cool, right? You know, he sort of dispatched Snoke really suddenly, and we were all quite like, whoa, you know, that was unexpected. And I do wholeheartedly agree with Ian that although it was disappointing to see him dispatched, I also really liked the fact that it was different.
It's very really, bold. Really,
yeah, very bold. I've, you know, we've done this to death in terms of being happy about the boldness, but I really have to keep reiterating that I really think the boldness is a good thing, and I'd much rather they do the boldness and lash it up occasionally in my subjective eyes than keep playing it super safe forever, because that's boring.
Yeah, and it's easy now, I think, for... Well, it would be very easy for JJ to slow walk that back. You know, we've all considered that Ryan may have gone a little bit too far in what he wrapped up in The Last Jedi. And I could see that it's possible for JJ to come along and say, nope, Snoke didn't die. Here he is. He's still a problem.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a cop-out, I think.
I think that would upset too many people. But yeah, what a writer can do, certainly somebody of JJ's caliber, is look at what he intends to use a character like Snoke for, and of course just create someone new. And you've got the right idea, I think, that it's a holocron. Because we know that Kylo is a fanboy. We know, you know, with the helmet that he had in The Force Awakens, the cloak that we believe had some significance in this in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the tip of the iceberg. And if he has got something, you know, if he has been to Mustafar, or if he has been to Coruscant and he's managed to pull together things, much like Luke's surrounded himself on Octo with the light side trinkets.
Yeah.
Maybe Ben's done something similar with surrounding himself with the dark side paraphernalia. And yeah, popping up one of those holocrons, especially, was it the Clone Wars? We saw Bane, didn't we? Voiced by Mark Hamill.
Yes.
So we've seen Darth Bane. Wouldn't it be interesting to see something like that again?
Yeah. Here's another cool thought. What if he finds... this is a tricky one, because it does potentially cause friction among fandom, and you'll understand why when I've laid it out. He finds a holocron made by Darth Vader.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And in it, he expects to find Vader's, you know, how Vader kind of consolidates all the, you know, how he sort of came to power and how he maximizes power. And all it is anger and remorse at the path he's chosen.
Yeah.
And it's like it shatters Kylo Ren's worldview, because he's suddenly like, oh man, he's weak. He's not, you know, he's nothing like I, you know, it's like never meet your heroes almost.
Oh yeah. Well, that's Rey's path in Last Jedi, wasn't it? So it'd be interesting to see that echoed in Kylo's path in the next movie.
It's just a passing thought, but I actually quite, you know, I think that could be cool.
I like that. That definitely is the kind of Vader that I'm seeing in the comic books at the moment.
Okay.
It's a guy that's made this deal with the devil, and he's not quite comfortable with the position that he's in.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much Darth Vader year one. So without spoiling any of the specifics of the book, it is kind of like him trying to sort of get his feet under himself and work out who he is and what his position is in all of that. So if there was some holocron recording of Vader airing those thoughts, that might be very disappointing for Kylo when he would expect, you know, those sorts of mission statements and things laid out by somebody more accomplished. I like that a lot. So in terms of Ian's part two of his breakdown, what type of Darksider? We'd like to see something from the past, something in a holocron form.
Yeah, I think that would work. I don't necessarily think you need a Dark Force user, because otherwise that wouldn't you'd have more questions about where they were, where they've been, and why we haven't seen them before now. Unless you get the Knights of Ren as his kind of Praetorian Guard equivalent, which could work.
That would be really cool, actually. I would like that a lot. I would like to see that. What about a holocron of Sidious?
That might work.
Because then you get... we'll be able to colour in some of the details about his dedication to that area that I think we've just... I think many people have just seen it in Rebels, some of the stuff that Sidious is invested in that's beneath that Jedi Temple on Coruscant.
Okay.
You'll be able to see all of that stuff that we didn't get to see in the original movies. In the original movies, it was very much about dissolving the council, like distancing himself from public life, building these massive super weapons and trying to crush the last of that resistance out, you know, in the galaxy, snuff that last light out.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to see a more personal agenda through some sort of holochrom recording of Sidious, which might lead Kylo to a well of power that could set him up to be an even bigger bad, a more accomplished bad.
That'd be cool.
In another series of films, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, Rob. I think, for me, if we're going to see a bigger bad, it needs to be something esoteric and something from the past. Mm-hmm. Not somebody that can come in and take power away from Kylo, but somebody that he can learn from and develop into something more significant. If this series isn't going to be about his redemption and it's looking less likely, then let's give him something that really makes him a tangible threat.
Yes, indeed. Give him that makes perfect sense.
A bit of a meteor, a meteor role.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Ian, thank you. I hope that's enough for you. I wish we had Paul here to get his take on it, because I'm sure his would be full of like evil Jawas, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he'd be on Tatooine, kind of getting in touch with like Anakin's home planet and stuff.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, dealing with some Jawas,
especially those Jawas.
Yeah, especially those Jawas.
All about the Jawas.
He's right. Mad on them.
Yeah, he's mad. Would you like Rob to regale us with this week's Rob's rebuttal? Our email from Derek.
Oh, can I, please? Can I?
I know how much you love this spot.
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. No, I do like hearing. I love hearing from Derek. It's just, you know, I feel singled out. hello again. Another well done show. Hope Paul is back in the saddle soon. With regards to Rob's rebuttal, no, we cannot agree to disagree. You must yield. Just kidding. I wholeheartedly agree with Rob's sentiment about subjective art. Different opinions are okay. Two of the main features I love about this show are the tolerance and thoughtfulness you guys provide, and I hope I don't come across as trying to convince anyone into liking the movie. So to be clear, Derek, you don't, so don't worry about it. With that being said, I will concede 2 points to Rob. He's put concede in inverted commas. Elevating Kylo did not need to come at the expense of every other villain. Snoke needed to go for Kylo's rise, but he still needs a credible bad guy threat. We shall see. Skip back about 5 minutes and we lay out a way that would work. So hopefully that's an interesting one for you. Number two, destroying the Dreadnought was not totally worthless. It did not yield a tactical or strategic benefit, but it was not worthless. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's a good compromise. With that said, however, I still maintain saving Page would have been valid given the fact that Poe's attack was an act of insubordination. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Number two, saving Finn was valid because Poe says the cannon is fully charged prior to calling off the attack. Ryan got challenged about this at a Q&A. Did he? I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't. I wish Derek had included a link so that we could have popped it into the show notes as well. But
always the nitpicking, aren't you? It's not enough for him to write in every week.
No. Well, you know, if you're going to do it, deliver 100%.
Ouch. Okay.
Only kidding, Derek.
So in light of those points, Rose's whole arc has meaning. She is Finn's angel. She stops Finn from deserting. I'll agree with that. She stops him from killing himself, and her motivations are valid, duty and love. Finn's complete arc will hopefully be more fully realized in the next movie. Totally agree. Would love to see that, because I really didn't get much from his arc this time around. Holdo's motivations and actions with regards to Poe don't need defending. Everything she did was justified. People may not like her actions, but they don't need to be defended. She outranks him, she has a circle of advisors, the plan does not involve him, and there is suspicion that a mole is on board. All good points. Poe is the one who consistently makes unjustified decisions that result in massive loss of lives and resources, until the point in the movie where he levels up. I like the way he put that. Mm-hmm. Every criticism of him is valid. Yeah, I don't know that I disagreed with that one at the time. If I sounded like I disagreed, I didn't mean to. Please keep up the good work, and thanks for taking the time to discuss these issues. Derek in Denver, Colorado. Well, thank you for writing in, Derek. It's always appreciated. P.S. Rob has me going on another tangent. Crazy! With his incessant desire for more darkness and ambiguity, I am relentless on that. I now really hope the Game of Thrones guys do a series of movies about Sith Lords or Dark Side users. Maybe we finally see the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise. Your thoughts, please. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like that.
Yeah. Now, I thought that, you know, after that thoughtful and well laid out email from Derek, he drops this bomb in the PS.
Oh, man, the more I think about that, the more I like it.
Now, doesn't that should really play to their strengths completely, right?
Absolutely. If there's, you know, they do morally grey, they do morally ambiguous, they do dark story matter. it all works.
I think that would be fascinating to sort of set a show, like set a series of films up. Because part of me still thinks that perhaps this might be heading towards the streaming service rather than be
okay
theatrical release project.
Yeah, I can see that.
To set this sort of stuff up there and tell the story, you could either go right back and tell from young Darth Plagueis, build himself up so that's the character we follow, and by the end of the series it will be watching him and his apprentice Palpatine, knowing where that goes.
That's really cool. The other option is I would also be really ecstatic with it doesn't have to be a retelling of the Legends, but a new Darth Bane series. Because he's a fascinating character in the Legends.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'd like to see that.
Combine this stuff together, you know? Because at the moment, Plagueis, the story's untold.
Yes.
The Bane story, like you said, is now languishing in Legends. So why not smash these two things together and give the elements of the story that you enjoyed about Bane... Give those story responsibilities to Darth Plagueis.
Yeah.
And let's follow this young Darth Plagueis through a series of films. Make him the focal point of these movies.
Yeah.
And then it's like, can you imagine, like, you get to the third movie in a series or something, and he takes his apprentice and it's Sheev Palpatine, and you know where it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's similar to that. It would put Palpatine in the young Anakin role in like episode 2 or something, where you can start to see the traits of we know what's coming.
Oh, man.
You know, remember what motivated Plagueis was saving people.
Yeah.
Saving the people that he loved. So this isn't a guy who's twirling a mustache and he's strapping people to train tracks, is it? This isn't like the quintessential bad guy. This is somebody motivated by the same things that drove Anakin. So it could be a really interesting character to see.
I like the way you're thinking on that. I say, the more I think about this, the more I love it. Good job, Derek. Seriously.
This is a great suggestion, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd love that.
That morally ambiguous story that you yearn for so much.
I do love them.
Could be darker because we've got...
I like that too.
Yeah, we've got the Game of Thrones guys overseeing this thing, so it could be a little bit more... On the darker side of things, not necessarily adult, but it could be pushing the limits of storytelling slightly in that darker direction. But then I just love the idea of when we're in love with this guy and we're following him and we see him sort of starting to tinker a little bit more with the darker sides of things, and then Sheev Palpatine enters his life. What a fantastic moment that would be.
Teach me, coach. I'm ready to learn.
Don't fall asleep around me, though. I don't know what I might do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, what a great...
That's how he sounds, yeah.
What a great...
That would be... Wouldn't that be amazing? Idea. Right, seriously, if we got all the... You know, we got a Plagueis movie, and we're like, oh, my God, a Plagueis movie, and then he talks like a complete dolt. Okay.
Okay.
Palpatine, he's my best dude. Okay.
it could be something really cool. It could be really... It would be really interesting to explore one of these characters and have them not be like the big bad straight from the off, even though they're like a Darth, even though they're a Sith and they're exploring that side of the Force, doesn't mean they have to be the boo-hiss villain from the start. It could be something really complex and really interesting. What a great idea.
Yeah, it's really, let's say that really works for me.
What a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we? This week's episode is going to be particularly short, I think, because we're only two people and we don't have a great deal on the docket this week, and plus I'm also a little bit poorly. So I think what we'll do is, what we might do is, in the absence of a Casey's Corner, we might make it Katie's Corner this week.
Oh, nice. That's still alliterative. I'm more into that.
Kind of works. Not the first time we've done that, I'm sure. What we'll do is we'll jump to a break now. We'll come back to Katie's Corner, and then we've got a couple of bits of Star Wars news, and we'll be out. It'd probably be about an hour long this week, which is unlike us.
It is.
It is unlike. All right, so let's do that. All right, we're going to jump out to a quick ad, and then we'll be straight back.
All right, cool.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows, and in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/talkstarwars today and become a TSW patron.
And we're back. So you've just heard about how you can become a TSW patron by visiting our Patreon page. And as is customary, after that point, we find out who has captured the corner. So, thank you to Matthew Salvatore for putting me in the mindset of conquest. he's just been so helpful to me this week. You know, he's been buffing my ego. Oh my. And he's also been, you know, he's been giving me great ideas. So thank you, Matthew. Much appreciated. And anybody else who wants to interact with me and great ideas, and I'm still accepting C words, at Twitter, at Rob Wade Vision. So this week, the corner has been captured by Katie. And Katie writes, with Solo coming out, the question this week is, what is your favorite Chewie moment? Mine has got to be when he sweeps the Falcon in on Crate, which helps out the resistance in the B-Wings. The shadow of the Falcon appearing on the screen just filled me with excitement, and I love that Chewie had a little co-pilot, Turbus. Turbus. As always, fantastic work. Much love, guys. So what's your favorite Chewie moment, Mark?
Make Turbus canon. Mine is a relatively recent one as well. It's from the sequel trilogy, which is unusual, because that Chewie had so many great moments in the OT, not so much in the prequel trilogy, but in the OT he had some really fantastic stuff to do.
Yeah.
But my favourite Chewie moment is in The Force Awakens, and it's the moment when Kylo runs Han through with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And it's the reaction from Chewbacca that just sells that moment to me every single time. That sort of scream that he lets out before...
It's funny you say that.
Firing on Kylo Ren.
Well, that's the bit that what I like is the bit afterwards, because he's so loyal to Han that this kid, who he's probably no doubt grown up with and, you know, watched grow from a small child into the adult he is now, he doesn't even hesitate on firing on him. I love that about, you know, I think it's a wonderful kind of insight into the, like I say, the loyalty of Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And how just thoroughly, thoroughly loyal he is to his life debt and Han.
There was a great cartoon that came out, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before. Somebody had done this little series of illustrations, like a little comic strip that showed Chewie thinking back to little Ben, like as a child, sort of following him around, and Chewie sort of looking after him and everything.
Oh, then, I think I know the one you mean. Is it like almost like a Calvin and Hobbes style art style?
Yeah. And then you see Chewie sort of re-aim the bowcaster, like drops the kill shot and just goes for the wounding shot.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's got that much affection for the kid that he wouldn't sort of shoot him dead. I heard recently that the actual real reason that the bowcaster didn't kill Kylo Ren is because he used the Force to defend himself.
Okay.
I don't know whether that is
kind of... might be something to it. It's one of those ones that's like credible headcanon.
Yeah.
That's the best way to explain it is, you know, when something's explained and you're like, yeah, no, that sounds fine. I have no problem with that. It's not officially explicitly stated, but it makes perfect sense. Like, you know, I've never had a problem that Rey can defend herself with a stick, because it makes perfect sense that growing up as a scavenger, she'll be able to defend herself. Yeah. That makes sense. I have no problem with that. Yeah, that's an example of it, but that's, I think, a good example of the kind of thing I mean.
Yeah, so is that your favourite Chewie moment then, that short in that movie?
You know, I had to think about it because there are quite a few. Obviously, you know, there's the comedy moment on Endor where he gets them all captured. there's the you know, in a similar way, there's the fact that he's almost willing to get shot to death by Boba Fett just to run the chance of stopping Han from being frozen in carbonite.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of theme of loyalty.
Yes, that is the thing, I think, with between Chewie and Han, and that's why this movie is probably something I'm looking forward to so much, because I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff play out in this film, inside of a Star Wars story, because that would be my second, if I had to call up a second favourite, I think, you know, we've got plenty of time to kick these things around, it would be that howl that it gives when Han is in carbonite. You know, when Peter's still in the costume, sort of throws his head back and howls up at the sky and the the instruction that Han gives him as well. Like, you need to protect.
You've got to take it. Yeah, you've got to look after her.
Yeah. That's just goes to show that how heroic these two characters are, Han and Chewie, and how dedicated they are to each other. It's fantastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the other thing I really like as well, a little bit of trivia about Chewie, is in the trash compactor in A New Hope, Chewie's up on the ledge because they couldn't get the suit wet.
Yeah.
Because it would have ruined. They only had the one suit, so he doesn't get involved in any of the wet work, which is probably
the wrong term
to be using. But he didn't get the suit wet because it would have ruined it.
Okay, and where was that from? Sorry, from Revenge of the Sith.
No, in A New Hope when they were in the trash compactor.
Oh, in the trash compactor. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Sorry. There may be. I suppose by the time Revenge of the Sith came out, they probably fixed that, hadn't they?
Yeah, probably.
I would guess. He wasn't in the sea bit, I don't think, though.
No, he didn't have a lot to do in Revenge of the Sith, really, did he?
No, it's almost one of those things that I'm kind of like, I understand that the fan service stuff is, they thought it would make a nice moment, but I felt like it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it doesn't
add anything to
the... It didn't work for me all that much.
No. Ah, well, you know, only a little thing.
Mm, it's great. No, Katie, thank you for that question. It's... the moment with the Falcon hurtling across Crait, that moment for the Falcon alone, just introducing the ship with that silhouette, I thought was fantastic shorthand. Star Wars shorthand done really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. Excellent. All right, are we ready to jump into a couple of bits of Star Wars news then, mate? Because
I think so.
There's not been a lot going on this week, but there's a couple of bits of interest. It looks very much like John Williams will be wrapping up his tenure on Star Wars when he completes the score for Episode 9.
Yeah.
He gave an interview this past week, I believe, and this is something that I pulled out of an article. I've put a link in there, but this is a quote from John Williams. It says, we know J.J. Abrams is preparing Star Wars Episode 9 now, and I will hopefully do that for him next year. I look forward to it. It will round out a series of 9 films, and that will be quite enough for me. Disney Studios probably will take it further. As you know, Disney has acquired the rights to Lucasfilm, and they'll probably continue on through the decades, possibly doing Star Wars-related attractions. So, well, how do you feel about the prospect of a Star Wars future without John Williams?
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's an inevitable fact of life. That one day people will not be physically able to do these things. Because he's not a young man. He's in his sort of mid to late 80s.
Yeah, he's 88.
And he's done incredibly well, you know. He really has. Yeah. And considering that, you know, he's been going for as long as he has within his career, he's done incredibly well to keep it sort of, to keep things as fresh as all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the soundtrack to Episode 8 for me, personally, is a little bit, it's good, but I don't necessarily think of it as particularly original, because it's almost a melange of lots of the different themes from previous films.
Yeah.
You hear the Resistance theme pop in again. There's a sort of variation on Luke's theme, but it's largely the same. There's a variation on Leia's theme. It's largely the same. Things like that.
True.
But at the same time, it's still good. It does exactly what it wanted it to do, which is it brings in sort of stirs up feelings at particular moments and all that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
It makes perfect sense, you know. So I'm not saying that to knock it. It's just, you know, a subjective thing. With I don't know. It's like I say, it's a shame, because as much as it is inevitable, he's been sort of a fixture of the saga movies, certainly for so long, that it's going to be the first one afterwards is going to be very strange.
Yeah, it will. But like you said, you know, much like 8. Is riddled with familiar themes and motifs.
yeah,
they're still going to be present. So mm-hmm. even if, you know, we get another composer steps in, maybe yep. it's Michael Giacchino, maybe it's John Powell, depending on...
I was thinking about this. What about Alexandre Desplat?
Yeah, well, he was supposed to be doing Rogue One, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And I think maybe some of the reshoots messed with the schedule a little bit for him.
I believe that's what... I don't quote me, but I believe that's kind of the commonly held feeling on it. And yeah. he, you know, Desplat is a two-time Academy Award winner.
Okay.
Lest we forget, you know. So he's won for Shape of Water last week.
Wonderful.
And he won for the Grand Budapest Hotel in 2014 as well. I've just looked it up.
Okay.
So he is, you know, he has a certain pedigree. So, you know, but at the same time, Michael Giacchino is also an Oscar winner for Up.
Yeah, and his soundtrack for Rogue One, I really loved.
It's great. Yeah, it's a grower, but it's very, very good. Very, very good.
And then we've got John Powell coming in for Solo.
Yep.
And John Williams is writing the theme for Solo.
Mm-hmm.
But John Powell will score the rest of the movie. So it could be that, you know, Alexandre Desplat, Giacchino, John Powell, any of these guys could step in, but they mm-hmm. will have some stuff that's already established. Certainly if we're talking about saga films, and there's no indication that there will be future saga movies, but if there was to be an episode 10, 11, and 12,
yeah.
then John Williams has already crafted some of the elements that will be used in those films.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, actually.
Fanfare and what have you.
Who would be good? I'm just browsing back through, because I got onto this through the winners of Best Original Soundtracks at the Academy Awards, so I'm going back through and looking at some of those. Stephen Price, who did Gravity.
Right, okay.
Did so much with so little in that film. Obviously, it would be a departure from that movie.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that it would be nice to kind of take... It would be good to have somebody who will have a different take on it. You know, we know that a Hans Zimmer would be a different beast, but at the same time, we know it also comes with a certain pedigree, because, again, multi-Academy Award.
Yeah.
Certainly a nominee. I don't know about multiple time winner. Let me just check. Actually, I can't even find one. There must be one.
You know, there's...
Sure.
There are so many people out there that they don't all have to be those household names.
Sure.
It could be somebody that we've never heard of that steps in and suddenly they're producing. They're the perfect fit.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Is it Kevin Kiner? Who's it does the Rebels scores?
He
does a really good job of music, of Star Wars music.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. There's something about the DNA of that, the musical landscape of the Star Wars project. That guy, I think it's Kevin Kiner. It's Kevin Kiner. He kind of nails it. And I'm not entirely sure what would stop him from graduating up to the big screen.
And he's got history with Star Wars for quite a long time, because he also was involved with Clone Wars as well. Yeah.
So, you know, that could be a thing where
where
somebody transitions from the small screen to the big screen and takes over the mantle from John Williams. But he does a particularly good Star Wars soundscape. Giacchino I found very interesting in Rogue One, but it was a departure somewhat from what John Williams has created over the years. The DNA seems somewhat different, but Kiner seems to be very close to it. So that could be an interesting thing.
Sure.
I'd like to get Paul's input on it, because he knows a lot more about composers than we scores. Do,
yeah, for sure.
So that would be an interesting exercise for him to sort of throw in a few names.
If he's willing, maybe he can submit us a list in the meantime, and he could always, if you can get him on for a daily, that'd be a good chat.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? And see what we can pick his brains and see if we can get something out of him.
Indeed.
But for the meantime, I think the loss of John Williams in terms of having him at the heart of subsequent saga movies would really be felt. But if there weren't to be subsequent Saga movies, if we're just talking about Ryan's project or Benioff and Wise, their series of films,
yeah,
then I think we're free to sort of look at people like, you know, Alexander Desplat and go a little bit further out, a little bit further afield. If we're talking about 10, 11 and 12, I think maybe we'll be safe in the hands of someone like Kevin Kiner. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the listeners think and if they have any strong feelings either way, to be honest.
Yeah, indeed. That'd be cool.
Yeah, quite a sad thing to think, though. But I'm glad that's the way we lose John Williams than the alternative. You know, we've already lost one of the key members of this Star Wars family in action.
Mm.
And so if we can have someone just gracefully step away from the project, that would be preferred, at least to me.
Indeed.
John Williams, you are a wonderful, wonderful composer, and I think it's more than half a Star Wars experience, isn't it? The soundtrack, the score is more than half of that experience.
Mm.
All right, let's talk about Solo, a Star Wars story. So, did Disney steal the designs for Solo, a Star Wars story's posters from a designer? Now, this gentleman's name, it's French, Rob. You're much better at this than me. Hashim Baho?
But I think that would be Bo.
Bo, okay.
Bo, yeah.
Like I say, I'm dreadful at this stuff. his designs he did for Sony Music France have been making their way online this week. I've included a couple in the show notes. Can you see them in there?
Yes. Yes, I can.
They are very, very close. Now, I'm unsure whether or not these actually made their way into stores,
right,
into final products, or whether or not these were concepts
that
were held by Sony. And there's another company involved as well, whose name I've neglected to put into the show notes. But is there any doubt that these at least inspired the Solo posters?
I think it would be fair to say that there is a good chance that there is inspiration directly derived from these posters, assuming they have made it to consumers.
Yeah.
That seems like a fair way to word it that's not libelous, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to point out that there may indeed have been an arrangement between Disney and Sony Music France.
Yep.
Nobody's commenting on this at the moment, or at least they're not doing so publicly. That would release the design aesthetic, the concept for use by Disney in these posters. So this may all be above board and legitimate, but the artist who submitted these designs to Sony Music France doesn't feel that he's been extended proper credit.
Right.
And that's obviously not for us to...
No, indeed. On. That's probably a contractual matter, I would guess.
Yeah, I would think so. I would say his work is outstanding, and the work on the posters, of course,
they're great. They're really, really good.
And if you check out my Twitter profile at the moment, I've done something similar.
Yes, I saw it. Yeah, good, nicely done
for the daily. It was just an homage, because on that day's episode of the podcast, I was discussing this very issue. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I thought it might be fun. You can see that in my Instagram feed, at Talk Star Wars on Instagram. Yeah, this is kind of. This is kind of unfortunate that I think off the back of what has already been a somewhat problematic production.
Yeah.
With all the controversy surrounding this movie, with obviously Lord and Miller moving along the way they did.
Yeah.
And Michael K. Williams not being able to continue as Drayden Voss because of the scheduling restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that there's yet another controversy around this movie.
Yeah.
It has not been plain sailing. So I think this is a bit of a shame.
Indeed.
Hopefully this will all come out, that this has all been settled and nobody's been screwed over.
Yeah.
But it does seem like he may have legitimate grounds for a grievance.
Mm.
But there you go. What an unusual thing. What a weird what a weird production this Solo movie has been.
It really is weird. Yeah.
So much odd stuff going on.
Yeah.
But we got more on the Solo movie, so this could be considered slightly spoilery. I wonder if we should shuffle this around, actually, and do the Michael K. Williams bit first. Yeah, let's do that, and we're going to drop this... Han winning the Falcon thing. We're going to drop that to the end because I think that might be a little bit spoilery. So we're going to talk about Michael K. Williams. Mm. He was originally, we just mentioned him, he was originally going to play Drayden Voss in Solo mm-hmm. Star Wars Story before the reshoots meant that his role had to be recast with Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
The reason for that was that he was already committed on another project when the reshoot started, and we know that they were quite extensive, so scheduling meant he couldn't free himself up to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So they reshot a lot of what he had already done.
Okay.
This is Michael's comment. This is to EW. He said, "I will tell you this much. What saddens me the most is that I was very proud of the work that I did. What I believe I have created with Amelia Clark and Woody Harrelson and with Alden Ehrenreich, I thought it was some great work. We were on the spaceship and we all had these amazing scenes together, and I thought it was a great opportunity, and I thought we did some great stuff. It's unfortunate the world won't get to see it." We were on the spaceship. Does Drayden make it onto the Falcon, or is this something else? This really caught my imagination when I was talking about it on the Daily Podcast.
Yeah.
That he's let something else slip, because it was Michael who initially let slip the name Kira
mm-hmm.
publicly.
Yes.
And now he's let something out that perhaps Drayden Voss makes it onto a ship with this crew at some point.
Yeah.
In the movie.
I mean, I think that's okay. I mean, if you think about it, they don't have to be in flight for him to turn up on the ship. He could just kind of wander on while they're about to take off and
very true.
Threaten them or something. So that could work.
Yeah, very true. It's also with Dryden, I was thinking the initial impression I got about that character was that he was going to be someone who's very much like Jabba, you know, in one place and people come to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to think that maybe he's got some sort of ship that these guys have to go to.
Right.
If you remember way back at the start of this production, there was an image that leaked that showed the first shot of Alden, the first shot of...
Oh, yeah, I think I know the one you mean.
And they looked like they were on the bridge of some sort of really luxurious-looking ship.
Yeah.
And they were standing around the circle just chatting.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that is Dryden Voss's ship.
Yeah.
And that is what Michael's talking about when he's referencing this scene that was already shot. Unless they've had to scrap that and they hadn't had time to reshoot that stuff, and everything that Paul Bettany's done is in one location, and it seems to be that party, you know, that we see in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
With a girl singing and a Twi'lek dancing and things like that.
Yeah.
But Michael K. Williams is just worth his weight in gold for these little nuggets that he lets out.
He really is.
He also said to Deadline, I think last year, that he doesn't think his time with Lucasfilm is done.
Okay.
He enjoyed working with them. He hopes they feel the same way, and they mm-hmm. might have him back at some point. So
that'd be cool. And obviously he's not going to be in the film because they've recast, so he could play any other role.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I look forward to that because I really like the guy. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm not. I must admit to not being familiar with his work, but I believe you when you say he's good. So
yeah, well, I've seen him do all sorts of stuff. He was in... he's been in Community with...
Was he?
With Don Glover, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was in Community as one of the teachers in the later series of Community. So comedy in that. It was very good. Mm-hmm. As in Ghostbusters, the last Ghostbusters. Less said about that, the better. He was very good.
Who did he play in that one?
He was one of the agents.
Oh, okay.
He was alongside the guy from Veep playing the agent. But, you know, at least it shows that he doesn't take himself too seriously. But I'm most familiar with him. Of course, he was in The Wire. I think he played Omar
sounds right, yeah.
Which I'd only just started watching just before Christmas. I haven't really got much further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, I'm most familiar with him from Boardwalk Empire, where he was a force of nature in that show. Nice. incredible. So very, very good. So I would love to see him bring some of that level of menace into Star Wars. That would be really cool. All right. One more story and then we're going to wrap things up. And this could be considered potentially quite spoilery for Solo, A Star Wars Story. But this is something that came out through Jason Fry's Last Jedi novelization.
Oh.
Yeah, believe it or not. This is, so spoiler warning for Solo. If you're the least bit gun shy about spoilers, and you might want to just jump out of the episode now, we'll be wrapping up straight after this. I'll just give you a chance to go. Okay, you're gone. Han will win the Falcon from Lando with dice, and not with a hand of Sabacc. And this was from Jason Fry's novelization. This is an extract. It says, Ben, as a toddler, forever following Han, carrying the dice from the Millennium Falcon, the one his father used to win the beloved battered freighter, and promising anyone who'd listen one day he would be a pilot too, like his daddy.
Wow.
So that's an extract from the book.
Yeah.
And that pretty much nails exactly what we can expect to see when Han takes this ship from Lando, right?
Indeed.
Now, I didn't think that was going to be a thing because we see the dice in Han's land speeder.
Mm-hmm.
In the trailer for Solo, A Star Wars Story.
So yeah.
I didn't think that we would see them used that way. I thought that he would use the dice, and then because he won the Falcon with them, they would become this lucky charm. Mm. But it seems to be the lucky charm that he takes with him anyway.
Yeah.
From ship to ship. So how do you feel about this change to canon, Rob?
Or this, I'm all right.
This change to legends, I should say.
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's a pretty minor thing. They've actually done the groundwork to seed it, so that works for me. I'm generally, as a kind of rule of thumb, I'm more like disinterested in canon changes from legends when they either don't make sense or they're in some way just kind of thrown in. You know, if they just kind of throw them in sort of willy-nilly, then that's a bit, you know, I kind of, it gets my back up a bit, which just seems, because I sort of mentioned it before, I think that when you do something as drastic as they did, which I'm fine with in terms of they get rid of the established canon and turn it into legends, what you have to then do is turn around and tell better stories.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it makes the exercise a bit of a waste, a bit of a waste. So, you know, when they do stuff like this, where they've actually done the work and set it up and planted the seeds, that works for me 100%.
Yeah, as long as they do deliver, because I've had this little theory about how Han might come into possession of the Falcon, and I discuss it on it's a Patreon only series I've been developing called Going Solo, which will come out in the next couple of weeks. And it's got one episode I spoke about the Falcon and how I felt there was a chance for Han to win it from Lando in a very specific way. This seems to trump that completely, which I'm fine with. But it was something a little bit more interesting than just a game of cards or a game of dice.
Yeah.
And because we'd already seen the dice in play elsewhere, I didn't think that they were going to go that route. But I'm glad that they're doing something new with it.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I think will, like you say, it pays into what they've already done in terms of using those dice in the deleted scenes in The Force Awakens and in that scene at the end of The Last Jedi. So,
yeah,
it does kind of work.
They've actually, let's say, it's because they've actually taken the time to tell the bloody story properly.
Yeah, as long as they don't do something very, very different in Solo and break.
Break their own canon. I'm sure that's not, I'd have to go back and check, but I'm sure that's not the first time it's happened. Wesley's usually good for that information.
Yes, he is. And I think the rule from Pablo is as long as something doesn't trample on what happened in a film, it can stay canon. So,
okay, fair enough.
The films can break everything else, but as long as something doesn't break what happens on film, you're good to go. So, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll get this book in the next couple of days. And that will lay the groundwork, and then in a couple of months we'll be. We'll be well into Solo, so we'll know what's going to happen. Very interesting stuff, though. Right, let's wrap this rather short episode up.
Okay.
I am struggling to sit in this chair. It's causing me quite a lot of discomfort.
I can imagine.
All right, let's wrap this thing up then. We're going to record again early next week, and I've already put the call out to the VIPs. We're recording on Tuesday next week, so when this drops into your feed, we're going to be recording tomorrow. So if you want to get a question or a comment into us for the episode, please do so via email. Put listener comms in the subject heading, and we'll fire that out into that episode. I'm aiming to do something sort of listener comms heavy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we'll have a lot more news to cover in the meantime. It's been quite quiet anyway, and we're recording in such a short space of time. I think it'll be difficult. But with that said, let's get to our thank yous. So thanks for listening to us again this week. Sorry Paul couldn't make it, but he was on his way back from London. You can support us by becoming a member of our Talk Star Wars community. You get details over at patreon.com/talkstarwars. You can also leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts and take advantage of that Ron Burgundy guarantee. So whatever you write in there, we will read verbatim as long as it's clean. So if you've got something you want to promote, fire it into there. And as I've just mentioned, you can email us your questions and comments to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Put listener comms in the subject line, and we will include your thoughts on a future show. Yes. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube and Instagram, to name but a few. With that said, Rob, where can people find you between episodes?
So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision, not to be confused with the dude from Dancing with the Stars. And you can find everything else I do that's not related to Talk Star Wars at emotionally14.com and on Twitter at emotionally14. And if you have the name with a C or a K, you too could capture the corner next week. And if more than one of you do that, then we'll just have a crowded corner, won't we?
Corner fights.
Corner copia. There you go.
Nice. There you go.
There you go. Boom.
Why didn't we get to that sooner?
I don't know.
You can find everything Paul does at moviescorenews.com, and you'll find him at moviescorenews on Twitter. You'll find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter also at talkstarwars. And check out the rest of the network and all our partner shows over at starwarscommonwealth.com. If you download the show notes from this week's episode, you'll get a whole bunch of links to all the creators and everything else that we do, including our T-shirt store and things like that. All right, that's it. We'll speak to you again next week, and then we're going to have a well-earned week off after that. But we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Find us at starwarscommonwealth.com alongside
the Tumbling Saber Podcast,
the Generation X-Wing Podcast,
Rogue Squadron Podcast,
the TSW Roundtable,
the Skyhoppers Podcast,
the Nerdroom Podcast,
and San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast.
Head to starwarscommonwealth.com. Take your first steps to a larger world.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.